Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and it's good to have you with us today. We're starting out with another edition of our special midterm series, She-Lection, in partnership with the Center for American Women in Politics and with support from the Ms. Foundation. We're bringing you these contests where both candidates in the general election are women. So let's head on over to the great state of Arizona, where two women are facing off in a fascinating contest to serve the state as governor. Now, the state's current Republican governor is term limited, so both women in this contest are challengers. Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is the Democratic nominee, and Carrie Lake is the Republican candidate. Whichever candidate wins, she will be the fifth woman to serve as governor of Arizona. In fact, if that seems kind of surprising, five women governors, it's because it is. Arizona is pretty unique when it comes to women in elected office. Right now, 55% of statewide elected executive office holders are women. And between 1997 and 2014, three women served sequentially as governor of Arizona: Jane D. Hull, Janet Napolitano, and Jan Brewer. Yep, Jane, Janet, and Jan, back to back, as governor of Arizona. So let's talk to a couple of Arizonans who know a thing or two about politics.
My name is Stacey Borchinger. I'm a state politics reporter at the Arizona Republic in Phoenix.
I'm Gina Woodall, and I'm a principal lecturer at Arizona State University in the School of Politics and Global Studies.
Stacey started out by setting the stage for us.
Yeah, happy to do so. This is my life right now. We have our Republican nominee is Carrie Lake. She is a former television news anchor. She worked here in the Phoenix market for almost 27 years, most recently on the Fox affiliate, Fox 10. Our Democratic nominee is Katie Hobbs. She is currently Arizona's Secretary of State. Prior to winning that role in election in 2018, she had served in the state legislature. Prior to that, she worked in as a social worker and then also as a lobbyist on various, you know, women's rights and reproductive health issues here in Arizona.
Now, Cece, how did each candidate become the nominee? Kind of what was their pathway from what they were doing to what they're now doing in terms of running for this position?
Yeah, it's a great question. They have very different stories. So Carrie Lake resigned her position, left Fox 10 because she felt that the media was not basically doing a good job anymore. And then months later, declared her candidacy for governor. She has not run for elected office before. On the other hand, you have Katie Hobbs, who has this trajectory in elected office, going from a more local position in the state legislature to statewide office as Secretary of State. She really rose to national prominence in defending the 2020 election of Joe Biden here in Arizona and across the nation, and then sees this opportunity to run for governor as another step up in a political career.
Now, Gina, in the study of politics within political science, I mean, the notion of what constitutes a quality candidate had long been, you know, something we operationalized simply with the kind of binary variable of had they held, you know, previous elected office. Do you think that that's even a good proxy measure these days for, and by quality candidate, we meant sort of with a higher likelihood to win? Is that still a good proxy measure, or are we now looking at a circumstance where, in fact, the name recognition, for example, from having been a local television personality might be an even better sort of likelihood of winning kind of qualification than having previously held elected office?
I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, ever since the 2016 election, right, political scientists, there's all sorts of new things, new phenomena going on. But I think that the latter is true. I think that the fact that, as Stacey said, Carrie Lake has immense name recognition. I mean, she was in the market. I remember being a young a teenager, and I remember seeing her on my television set. And now I'm 45 years old, and I absolutely know who she is. I would know who she is just by that name. I can picture her face. Mm-hmm. And this was prior to all of this. So I think that old measurement, right, is, you know, it's probably not the best measure to use anymore, because we have this unique candidate in the same vein as, you know, Donald Trump, right? Everybody knew who he was. He was on TV. Everybody knew his story. And Carrie Lake, although very different in terms of her professional life than Donald Trump, kind of the same name recognition, at least for the state of Arizona.
And Gina, one more piece on this. I mean, you talk about this being a unique sort of circumstance, but it's particularly unique because it's the gubernatorial race in Arizona, where apparently that's just a woman's job now. Like, you know, a woman's place is in the governor's mansion in Arizona, right?
Absolutely. We have a good history, right, in the state of Arizona. We've had back-to-back female governors. And yeah, Arizonans don't seem, you know, it's doesn't really matter, you know, what kind of traditionally has been done. I mean, we will vote in the person who will feel, you know, will do a good job. And so the gender in that regard really for Arizonans does not matter.
So, Stacey, let's talk about this particular race. And it's an interesting point to hear, you know, Gina make this point about gender, because, in fact, not only are these, you know, back-to-back women serving as governor, but sometimes a Republican, right, and sometimes a Democrat. So you had a woman Republican that handed off to a woman Democrat who handed off to a woman Republican. It's not clear that it's even an interaction, for example, of you know, party and person. But let's talk about this particular race. There's a decision here for the candidates not to engage in a debate. How did that happen?
We are one of many states that has had debate drama this election cycle. Every year, the Arizona Citizens Clean Election Commission, which is a state department, partners up with our PBS affiliate to do a debate series. They do it for all statewide offices, legislative races, our U.S. Senate race as well. And of course, we all anticipated that our gubernatorial candidates would do a debate on stage together. The Democratic nominee, Katie Hobbs, sort of didn't want to do that format. Her campaign's take was that Carrie Lake was too brash, too much misinformation, especially about the 2020 election. They pointed to a debate in the GOP primary that, I mean, even as we reported it, it was light on policy and very heavy on attacks. At one point, someone made a joke that it should have been an SNL skit, which isn't too far off the mark. So Katie Hobbs had asked for changes to the format of the debate. The commission didn't want to do that. They think there's value in seeing your candidates talk back to each other, set the record straight. And ultimately, Katie Hobbs decided not to participate in that event. So as we know it now, you know, just about 3 weeks before early voting starts here in Arizona, Arizonans will not get a chance to see their two candidates for governor kind of going head to head.
Gina, what do you make of that? I mean, Stacey's absolutely right that this is, Arizona's not the only state where there is more than a little bit of debate drama going on with statewide candidates. But this is also a moment when many on all sides and from multiple ideological positions are asking about kind of the quality, the health of our democracy, right? No matter who you want to see win, you know, you kind of want the system, right? Democracy to win. What does it convey when two candidates for governor can't come to an agreement about a debate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think that, you know, you understand strategically, or at least I do strategically, why the Hobbs campaign wouldn't want to debate Carrie Lake, because Carrie Lake is very polished. Carrie Lake was on TV for, you know, for over two decades. She looks great on camera. She's charismatic. She's very comfortable in front of the camera. And she says some extreme things. And so I understand strategically why Katie Hobbs might not you know, want to debate her, given that Katie Hobbs has more of a reputation as is more of a policy wonk, more of a workhorse from her years in the legislature. So I understand that, but it does not look good, I think, for the Hobbs campaign. Now, of course, the Hobbs supporters, I think, are still going to support Katie Hobbs, but you know, it's the independents in Arizona that are really going to determine the outcome of this election, and in particular, women. Right, women that live in the suburbs. Phoenix is kind of one big suburb now, in particular, and I think that it doesn't bode well for the Hobbs campaign. Not saying that Carrie Lake will definitely get independent female vote, but if Carrie Lake goes, because she's still going to go on television, and if people do tune in, and if she kind of tames down some of her extremist rhetoric, I don't know. You know, voters might say, well, maybe she just did that for the primary. So I think that it's something that we just will have to see what happens.
Yeah, it's certainly not entirely unprecedented, but it is, again, one of these sort of moments raising new questions about what we might think of as conventional wisdom about how to run a campaign, or what constitutes good strategy or troubling yes. strategy in any given moment.
Yes.
Stacey, it's funny, as we talk about kind of the health of democracy, you know, it also always comes up for us, especially as we're sort of putting together election coverage. We'll start talking about issues, and I'm always like, ugh, I would love to think that voters vote about issues, especially in midterms, but I'm not sure it's true. But let's go ahead and say that voters do, in fact, know and cast their vote based on issues. What are some of the key issues, and maybe where there are clear points of disagreement between these two candidates in this election?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm an optimist. I think voters do pay attention to issues here. And, you know, we have been covering those issues for those, you know, undecided independents who remain in the race. So, you know, top issues for voters consistently here are education, border security, and immigration. You know, we are right on the border with Mexico, so this is constantly in the news cycle here. Also, water. Arizona and the West are in a drought. We really need to look over the next years and decades about where our water supply is going to be coming from. And on these three issues, you do see some vast differences between Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake. On the border, Katie Hobbs is very quick to acknowledge that this is a federal issue. Immigration reform has to come from the federal government, and has put forward a plan that really is sort of helping around the edges, giving state resources to social services and hospitals down by the border that really need backup. Whereas you have Carrie Lake, who is pledging to declare an invasion. It's an untested legal theory that is being pushed by Trump allies that would allow the state to essentially take matters of immigration into its own hands. So this would be the state of Arizona using its own law enforcement officers to deport people, which sometimes the Lake campaign acknowledges is just a legal test. You know, if this happens, if she is elected, the state of Arizona is going to be immediately sued. And so we will see what happens after that. The other thing that I think, you know, we have to talk about is after the Dobbs decision, abortion is really an important issue for voters here. And again, you have two candidates who are just night and day far apart on this issue. Katie Hobbs has been pressed about if she believes there should be any government restrictions on abortion, and I don't think we have a clear answer on that. Whereas you have Carrie Lake, who has said, you know, she is pro-life. She believes in exceptions for victims of rape and incest and to save the life of the mother, but really is totally opposite of Katie Hobbs on this issue that we know is going to be very important for voters this cycle.
I want to zero in, Stacey, just on one moment on the immigration question and the sort of test cases. Is there public conversation right now, maybe particularly among voters, but also potentially from either of the candidates, about the strategy being taken by the governors of Florida and Texas in terms of sending migrants to other locations, primarily in blue cities and states, and most recently to Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is something that Carrie Lake has actually been outspoken about. She said it on, you know, Fox News last week. She said it locally too. I mean, she does not support that strategy. So her take is that by spending millions of taxpayer dollars to move migrants and asylum seekers around the country, you're just furthering the problem, that it would be better to detain those people and deport them. This is something that we saw, you know, the Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene also sort of parroting over the weekend as well.
I want to let you in, Gina, as well on this question of issues.
I just wanted to comment on something that Stacey said that I think is really important, and that's obviously the Dobbs decision. I think Katie Hobbs, I mean, if she comes back to that issue, particularly in October, I think that it might speak to these independents, right? Particularly female independents in Arizona, because of Carrie Lake's views and in support of the Dobbs decision and in support of all restrictions on abortion, except for those three instances, which Stacey discussed. And I think that that's a really important issue. And it's an important issue nationally, and it's an important issue for Arizona. All the polling shows that the majority of Arizonans support abortion rights, with exceptions, of course, not unrestricted. But I think that that is an issue that it would be really strategic and smart for the Hobbs campaign to bring up. And in terms of how the candidates are presenting themselves on issues, right? So as a political scientist, content analysis, you look at their websites and you look at their commercials. And when you go to the candidates' own websites, when you look at Carrie Lake's, you know, the top three issues right on her website, she has an issues button, but right on her website, it was vaccines and COVID mandates. So she's definitely against those. And then don't California or Arizona, election integrity and being pro-life. So those are the main issues that she showcased. And then, you know, Katie Hobbs, it's kind of more nebulous, her website, but she is talking about border security and talking about education in terms of, you know, doing away with Governor Ducey's voucher expansion. So I think that, you know, I think that some of these issues are critical. And when you are running for governor, right, this is an executive office. So the issues that the candidates, you know, really need to be perceived as competent on are some hard issues, right? Some issues that they need to be seen as tough on, and they need to be seen as competent on, like border security, you know, like the economy. And then, of course, education is important too.
Stacey, voting is going to start in less than 50 days in Arizona. And this is in part because of mail-in ballots. Can you talk a little bit about the actual functioning of the election system there? Sort of, has that been at all a contentious issue, given that it has been a contentious issue in so many other places in the country?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has been a focus here. I'll start with the very basics. So Arizonans have, for about three decades, predominantly voted early and by mail. That means that the election really starts in about 3 weeks, even though for the rest of the country, it might be November 8th. We start voting very early. It also creates panic for deadlines in the news business, but that's okay. So that is how the election systems typically work here in Arizona and how they have worked for decades. Of course, since 2020, you have seen Republican candidates, especially just really questioning the security of that voting method. This is another area where Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs are vastly different. You have Carrie Lake, who even prior to winning her primary said she had detected stealing going on. She's refused to provide any evidence of that. She has repeated false claims that the 2020 election was stolen and calls Joe Biden an illegitimate president. On the opposite side, you have Katie Hobbs, who has made a name for herself by being the state's chief elections official and going on national news frequently to defend the system, you know, to declare Joe Biden the rightful president. She certified the election here. And as much as, you know, Katie Hobbs is trying to take a forward look that 2022 is not about 2020, that's just really impossible to do when you have Carrie Lake frequently returning to the election 2 years ago as one of her main campaign issues.
Gina, did you want to jump in on that one as well?
I mean, I absolutely agree with everything that Stacey said. It is impossible, right, to kind of pretend that 2020 didn't happen, at least in the state of Arizona. And Carrie Lake, like, it is one of the main things on her webpage, how she is presenting herself as, you know, saying that election integrity, you know, talking about the illegitimacy of the 2020 election and of President Biden. And she is portraying herself as very tough, right? So again, if we talk about how women generally want to portray themselves, or what, you know, in political science, we talk about traits and issues, mm-hmm. right? So these type of kind of feminine traits or male traits, you know, Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs has in some of her newer commercials when she's standing with the sheriffs, but, you know, they're definitely, you know, highlighting these kind of counter stereotypical traits. So, it, you know, being tough, being decisive, being hard, being aggressive, particularly Carrie Lake. And when it comes to this issue, and then Katie Hobbs is also portraying toughness. She's, you know, talking about her experience. She has a lot of experience, a pretty traditional trajectory, as Stacey had discussed, in politics. And then also talking about how she too can be tough, particularly when it comes to the border. And then in defending, you know, the system, defending our elections in the state of Arizona.
This is part of our She-Election midterms series. And Gina, as you were just talking about this question of traits and these sort of historically or maybe stereotypically, you know, confirmed notions of masculinity or femininity being kind of part of this, I'm just also interested in, and one of the questions we've been trying to think through is how women are recruited to run, and how parties, not just voters, but how parties and organizations really encounter, think about, talk about women as candidates. And again, because Arizona is a place where is the place, right, where this particular role, the gubernatorial role, the governor's seat, which has proved so elusive in so many states for women. I'm just wanting to end this conversation with having both of you maybe weigh in a bit on maybe what Arizona is getting right, whether from the right or from the left, in terms of ensuring real candidates who can really win run for the highest offices in the state. Gina, maybe I'll start with you, and then I'll end with you, Stacey.
Yes, I mean, you know, Katie Hobbs was a graduate of the Emerge program. Right, Emerge is a group that helps train pro-reproductive right Democrats to run for office. And she was a graduate of that program, and she kind of started her political career after graduating from Emerge. The Republican Party, the state Republican Party here, I mean, there are some kind of rising stars in the Republican Party that are, you know, kind of more in the vein of Carrie Lake and Donald Trump. So time will tell whether or not, you know, kind of how far they go. But as we can see historically in Arizona, you know, gender has not been a defining, you know, it has not been an obstacle. You know, we will have a fifth female governor in executive office. You know, we may have a female attorney general, depending on how that race goes. We've had women in top offices before in the 1990s. It was called the Fab Five. So that is something that Arizona, I think, has always been open to, and it is because I believe the electorate is more open-minded about that. And as long as kind of the job gets done, it does not matter as much as to the gender of the candidate. And I'll leave it at that.
And Stacey?
Yeah, I I'm not sure what to add. You know, one of my favorite, you know, Arizona women in politics fun facts is that, you know, after we became a state in 1912, male voters immediately put a constitutional amendment on the ballot and gave women the right to vote. It was the first referendum here in our state history. And I think that goes to what Gina is saying about, you know, Arizonans love women candidates. You know, the Republican side, like we've talked about, Carrie is a, I guess, an outsider candidate of sorts. You know, she hasn't come through any sort of structured political training. She really just has a lot of qualities that make her a very strong candidate. And so it's just one of the ways that she's very different from Katie Hobbs, excuse me. And I think one of the things that voters are going to have to consider and think about over the next couple of weeks as they get their ballots and drop them off or send them back in the mail.
I got to just note this, how frequently in this conversation, both Gina and Stacey, the Katie Carrie, Carrie Katie has happened just as, and both of you are following this very closely. And suddenly I realized, I wonder if that will affect voters as well.
You know, that's a really good point because they both do refer to themselves by their first names, right? So Katie, hi, I'm Katie, and Carrie, you know, it's Carrie. Although she has both of her names kind of large on her signs. But yeah, it definitely could mix some people up for sure, especially some of our older voters. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the primary race between in Georgia, the Democratic primary between Stacey and Stacey. And you were like, well, here's a dissertation waiting to be written about this one.
That's right. Yeah.
Stacey Bartschinger is state politics reporter for the Arizona Republic, and Gina Woodall is principal lecturer at the School of Politics and Global Studies at Arizona State University. Thank you both for joining us, and we will definitely be watching this race very closely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.